the Torah Kuf Tzadik Hei, and we could him on Chelek Aleph. Rav Elazar bases this Torah on a statement made by David HaMelech in Dillon. David HaMelech said, Batzor Hirchavtali, Hashem, whenever things were tight for me, whenever it was tight, constricted, you broadened things for me, Hashem. This is a statement that David HaMelech made. Rav Elazar interprets it a little bit different than the Pshat is. Rav Elazar says, "Hainu hachegam afilu behatz." Now, note, just a second introduction. Usually, when a person has any kind of problem, physically, spiritually, any kind of problem whatsoever, what's the hiskaskas that we give to the person? Usually, in the most general terms, don't worry, things are going to get better. Parnosa, health, Ruchnius, anything, things are going to get better. In other words, you know if things are rough now, it's going to get better. Or we hope it's going to get better. We hope you're going to get healthier. We hope you're going to do this, etc., etc. By the way, which reminds me, I wanted to mention before we started, before we turned the tapes, it doesn't make a difference that Leah is sick now. She should have the learning that we learn now should help to bring the Refu Shalema a little quick.
Right.
Very quick. So usually we say that that things are going to get better. That's a general Eitzah, and it's a phenomenal Eitzah. If a person could just think that way, all things must pass. The Goyim even know that, and as the Gemara, I think it's the Gemara of the Medrash that says that the biggest Chacham in the world, Shlomo HaMelech, had a ring on his finger, and on the ring he had three letters, three Hebrew letters, Gimel, Zayin, Yud, which stood for the words Gam, Ze, Ya'avor. This will also pass. This was the biggest chacham in the world. This was the eitzah that he used for himself. Whenever they know it's going to go away, if I know it's got a timer on it, I can handle anything. If you tell me something's endless, that's a difficult thing to handle. That's a phenomenal eitzah. Rav Elazar wasn't satisfied with that eitzah alone, it seems. And Rav Elazar came up with a second Eitzah, which, imagine if you have a second Eitzah, it's going to be still easier to handle life. This is the second Eitzah. Rav Elazar says, Hainu shegam afilu behatzara bi'atzma, even within the tzara itself, Hashem Yisborach marchiv lanu. Hashem always gives us a little breathing room within the tzara imal chazdei Hashem. Rav Elazar says, if a person will analyze the chazdei Hashem, yireh, the person will see, she'afil, now note, Rav Elazar didn't say, hainu im yireh al chazdei Hashem. He used the word yistakel, you gotta look carefully. That's what he's talking about. If a person will study carefully the chazdei Hashem, yireh, a person will see, she'afilu be'eis, she'Hashem Yisborach meitzar loi, even at those times when Hashem makes things tight for him, either beruchnius or begashmius, in money, in hell, anything, still, gam bahatzora bi'atzmoi, Hashem Yisborach marchiv loi, umagdil chazdoyimoi. Even within the tightness itself, within the problem itself, Hashem makes things wide for him, broadens things for him, and uses, applies great chesed to him. V'zeh batzor hirchavtali. This is what David HaMelech also meant when he said these words, batzor, within the tzor, hirchavtali. Hainu afilu b'toich hatzor bi'atzma, nosatoli harchava b'secha. Even within the tzor, you have given me a harchava. Milvad ma she'onu mitzapim sh'ashem yizborach yoshenu b'koroiv mikol hatzorois. Besides the fact that we're hoping that Hashem is going to help us soon and rescue us from all the tzorais, v'yetev imonu ma'oid, and things are going to get very good for us. Ach afilu gam b'hatzora b'hatzmo marchev manu. But even within the tzora itself, there's always a harchava. And this was a limud. This is part of the culture, the breslov of a culture that Rav Elazar taught his talmidim. Again, a methodology of how to get through life. If a person has this one eitzah and applies it well enough and often enough and is intelligent enough, mature enough to know how to apply it, person could use this to help himself always be in simcha. Because no matter what kind of illness I go through, there's a worse illness. If I study carefully, if I read the medical books, I'll find there's worse than me. A person, chas v'shalom, loses a foot, could have lost 2 feet, chas v'shalom. A person suffers a yerida, he goes a week, chas v'shalom, without doing mitzvahs, it could have been 2 weeks. And anything, in anything you want to talk about, any kind of tzara, you could always analyze it that way and use that as something to be misameach yourself. Baruch Hashem, Hashem was still kind to me, because if he would have wanted, it could have been worse. And according to what I deserve, it probably should have been worse. So in whatever I'm getting, there's a tremendous amount of chesed there. This is a phenomenal eitzah that Rav Elazar professed. However, we should be.
So you see that's the eitzah that you should always say that things could have gotten worse. Whatever happened between Tzara could have been worse, and that's. I mean, it just says harchala.
Likutei halachas. Likutei halachas. That's where it interprets and expounds in about 15 places. On what Rabbeinu Zal meant here, that when we say batzor hechaftal, in other words, to be able to find within the construction, to be able to show how fort there's some kind of harchava there. As tight as it is, it could have been tighter. That's what it means. But Rabbeinu Zal mentions it in all kinds of cases that he talks about, and it's all surrounding this concept.
So now that can make it it's easier, it's better consolation.
Exactly.
Something will pass over.
100%. Not it's better. You have two things now. Imagine, Rav Enes, I'll give you two fabulous eights. Just put these two things together, and then go ahead and tell me that you can't handle it. You can't handle a problem. You can't handle an illness, a difficult, you know, whatever it is. Hashem should help us. We should be zecha not to have to apply these eights. But the fact remains that on earth, this is the way things go. Everybody goes through ups and downs, baruchnias and begashmias. And with this kind of a device available, it becomes so much easier. Anything that you're going through could be worse. Find a harchava there. Find, for at least I did one mitzvah today. At least I left one sin in the Torah that I didn't do. I committed 10,000 sins. There was one that I missed out on. I couldn't do it. But that's a harchava to that extent.
Where does Rebbeinu get that limit from? Rabbi Gamzu? Did he get it from Rabbi Gamzu?
No. He bases it on a pasuk in Tehillim, where David HaMelech said, "Batzor herchaftali."
Oh, so where did Rabbi Gamzu get his terminology from?
That was something that he professed, period. He was a Tana. He came up with this psychology of Gamzu L'Toyfa. That's a different concept. A slightly different concept. Because he's saying that whatever happens to a person is also for the good. In other words, that which seems to you as bad, it's only because your eyes are bad. Really, this is a good item. Rabbeinu Zal here is not saying that. He's saying, let's say we admit already that what you're going through is bad. Let's say you're not on the level that Rabbi Nochum Ishkamzu wanted. You're not capable of understanding in any way. There's no way we can explain to you how if you have 106 degrees fever, chas v'shalom, and if you're going through this, we can't explain to you that that's for your good. Still, you wouldn't deny that there could be worse. No question about that, right? Once you understand that, then you see that as tight, as bad as things are for you, could have been worse, be happy. That's the concept that Rabbeinu Zal is saying here.
It's like similar yet different from like Rabbeinu Zal says, like, you look at yourself and say, oh, I did so terrible, at least you judge yourself with chavstus that I found something good in me, the person says.
That's again a separate, a different eitzah. Each Torah is full of eitzahs. This is one specific eitzah that Rabbeinu Zal is saying.
So it seems like very similar, but yet this seems a little more on the negative side, the other is a little more on the positive.
Right. There you're finding a specific Torah. Here he's saying that in any within Ra, the volume could have been turned up more. Okay, next.
This is really different than from what Rabbeinu Zal said about Kamaychani Hashem. I heard that he mentioned that a person should like the good, like the bad within him. And
yes, this is in other words that touches this a little, but this goes still further. This is saying even regardless of you, let's forget about you, what your bad is, what your good is. Any difficulty that you're undergoing, you could, if you look carefully, you could find a harchava in it. Either quantity-wise or quality-wise, you could find a harchava. Period. Baruch Hashem. Next. Rabbi Nizal says, the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, note we started Perkei Avos this week. The Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, Ukishatom is spawel, and when you daven altas tfilosho keva, ela rachmim vitachnunim. Don't make your tefillah a habitual kind of thing. Don't let it become a habit where you lose, it loses its specialness, its newness to you. Ela, the tefillah should be rachmim v'tachnunim. It should be pleading to Hashem, pleading like it's a new plea, not like it's some drudgery kind of thing you're saying. Make it like you're begging for something. When you're begging for something, you don't say it in a drudging kind of manner. That's the pshat in the Mishnah. Rabbi Nizal explains, ki osur la'odom lamoid atzmoi al shum davar. It is forbidden for a person to lock himself in to any item. In other words, to we'll see in a minute. Hainu, Rabbi Nizal explains, she osur lehisakesh betfilosoi. A person is not permitted to be nisakesh in his tefillah. Person is not permitted to be stubborn in his tefillah. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu yaseh lo dafka es bakoshasam, that Hashem should do for him exactly what he wants. In other words, Hashem should do this item, and no matter what, I'm not going to renege on the fact that I want this item. Kizehu kamoi loikeach davar bechazaka, because that's like taking the item by force. That's like grabbing from Hashem. Give me this now. Hashem, I want this now. That kind, saying it in that kind of manner. Rak tzorich lehispalel ulehischanein lefnei Hashem yisparach berachmim v'tachnunim. The manner in which a person has to daven to Hashem is rachmim v'tachnunim, with begging for pity and pleading. Im yitin Hashem yisparach yitin v'im lav lav. Taking the attitude that if Hashem is willing to give me the item, good. If not, not. That kind of attitude. Now, if a person thinks of what we're saying here, this contradicts a lot of things that we've said previously. We're going to explain. But for now, just take these words pshat, very pushy. Kemuva b'mokom acher, as is brought in a different term, look at Imran, in Torah Yutes, or in Torah Chof, Torah Testikunim, where Rabbein Zal there speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu, the pegam of Moshe Rabbeinu in hitting the rock. Rabbein Zal says that Hashem said, V'dibartem el ha-sela, speak to the sela. Speak to the sela means benachas. Dibur is benachas. Speak softly. Don't hit. Don't punch. Speak. V'zeh, this is the interpretation of the Mishnah. This is another interpretation of the Mishnah. Al tas tfilosho keva. Don't make your tefillah. The word keva also means stealing. Miloshin zelo. Kemoshe Kozov, as the Pozuk says, the kova is kovehem nefesh. They kidnapped their souls. There's referring to kidnapping. The word keva means to steal. Hainu shekol ma shehu mevak. Hainu. Rabbi Nizal explains. Shekol ma shehu mevakesh. Any item that a person requests from Hashem. Hain parnosa, whether it be parnosa, or ibonim, or children, or sharat zrochim, or anything else, osur lehis akesh v'lam oydatz moy b'tfilosoy, it's forbidden to be stubborn and to stand himself up in tefillah. Shedafka yaseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu es tefilosoy, that Hashem should do exactly what he's asking for. Kizehu tfilas keva. That's a concept of tfilas keva, where he's taking it by force. Shalekeach adohor bechazoko. He's grabbing the item. Bigzela. He's stealing chas v'shalom. Rak yispalel rachmim v'tachnunim kanal. Elamai. He should say it in a pleading manner, in a begging manner. Now note here, what is Rabbi Nizal referring to? You look in Likutei, number one, we don't need Likutei Halachos. We have better than Likutei Halachos. We have a current tzaddik hadir, a current one of the tzaddikim amitim in this generation. Those of us who were zeicher to be in Eretz Yisrael this past summer were zeicher to be in the home of Reb Kalman, the son of Rabbi Yochanan, the Rosh Bayis of the world. And he was talking about this topic, that there's a stira, that Rabbi Nizal says, in many places in the Likutei Moran, as in this place, Rabbi Nizal brings in many places that the worst midah in the world is akshonus. The worst midah in the world is akshon. A person who's stubborn, that's a horrible person, because he's not subject to change, he's not pliable. And in this world, if you're not pliable, you're dead. Because in this world there's waves coming constantly. Baruch Nias Begashmias. And if you can't bend, you're finished, Chas V'Shalom. You'll break. The world isn't going to step aside for you. You're going to step aside for the world. So therefore, Rabbi Nezal says one of the worst things in the world is stubbornness, akshonus. Then Rabbi Nezal says in a different term, look at the Quran, Tzorech li yais akshon godol ba'avodas Hashem. That a person has to be extremely stubborn when it comes to serving Hashem. So Rav Kalman asked, this seems to be a contradiction. We know Rabbi Nezal was against akshonus even when it came to serving Hashem. It says even Rabbi Nezal himself was never misakish. If Rabbi Nezal knew that something was wrong, and a person asked Rabbi Nezal, he insisted on the item, Rabbi Nezal would give in. Although Rabbi Nezal Beruach Kotshay understood that this person was asking for something wrong, something no good, Rabbi Nezal was never misakish. That's how strong he was against Akshanus. Tashi is, why does he say Tzorchei Sakshan Rabbi Hashem? So Rabbi Kalman mentioned that he asked this question to his father, to Rabbi Yechaim, and Rabbi Yechaim told him that he was once zeichet to ask this question to the Bir Likut himself, and the Bir Likut himself told him that he has the Kabbalah, he heard that when Rabbi Nezal mentioned this term, Tzorech Li is action godel b'avedas Hashem, it applies to one item and one item only, tefillah. Tefillah is the only act, in other words, avodah is avodah shebelayv, which is tefillah. That's the only place where there's room for akshonus. Where there, you don't get it the first time, come back the second time. And keep coming back and don't give in. Don't give that thought up. Keep going again and again and again and again. This was his explanation of Tzorech Li'as Akshon Godol. Now the question is, how does that comply with this Torah, which seems to be saying the opposite? The answer is, this Torah is not saying the opposite at all. This Torah is talking about the manner in which you present your request to Hashem. That at the time that a person is davening, he's got to put everything he's got into it, all of his koyches into it, but he's got to be careful and extremely careful and blankety-blank careful to make sure that that tefillah comes out in the form of rachmim v'tachnunim, that he's pleading, never demanding, never in a demanding tone of voice, or never in a demanding manner. And even though Rabbi Nezal said you're supposed to use tainus, you're supposed to use proofs, even that, don't you ever forget who you're talking to. You're talking to Hashem, and you're zero, and you deserve nothing at all. After all your tainus are said, you deserve nothing, and you're minuscule compared to Hashem, and you have to speak with the utmost of respect, and in a very, very pleading manner. That's the emphasis of this Torah. Don't grab. Do it with rachmim v'tachnunim. How many rachmim v'tachnunim? As many as it takes. If it takes begging, coming back a billion times, you better have that akshonus to keep coming back. But don't ever get befuddled in your head. You figure you came 10 times and it didn't happen, and you start getting nervous and you start talking differently. Don't ever forget chas v'shalom that the Mishnah said al tas tefilas haker. Don't ever grab from Hashem chas v'shalom. You ask of something, and in your own mind, as much as you want that item, let's forget parnasa bonim. Hashem, bring me close to you. As much as you want that, if Hashem doesn't want, what are you going to do? If Hashem doesn't want, then whatever Hashem wants is good. But I still want to come close. But I still want to be good. But if Hashem... In other words, always leaving room within the manner that you're speaking. You're not showing that you're locked in lamoy, that I want this and there's no other option, that kind of thing. That you're showing by the fact that you're coming back, that there's no way you're going to get turned off or turned away. That's where the akshonus comes in. But the manner in which you're saying it is a manner where anybody listening could understand that you're not demanding, you're pleading. When you demand something from someone, you're saying, hey, give me it, or I'll punch your face. In other words, when you know that when two people are talking, when you demand, there's an implication that if I don't, something's going to happen. Either I'll punch you, or I'll cry, or whatever. Whereas over here, there's no room for that. It's got to be pleading and pleading and pleading, and never anything other than pleading. That's the Baruch Hashem. Go ahead.
Does it apply even if a person davens in a demanding way, he'll get it?
That even if he davens in a minute, he will get it? Mm-hmm. Where would you see that
implied? No, I'm just asking.
Oh,
no.
He says it's like he's feeling something. So his mashmi does get it.
No. No deal. You're misinterpreting. it's mashma that it's like he's, it's like a person feeling. It's like a person going to grab something. It's not implying that you're going to get it. Definitely, I definitely disagree. I'm saying it seriously, a personal opinion. In other words, I would definitely disagree. He's saying it's like a person. In other words, there's two. You come into a person's house, you want a chocolate bar. There's two ways to get it. You can either ask for it, or you can go in and steal it. He's saying if you speak to Hashem in this manner, it's like a person going to steal. And we know that that's a bad thing to do. Therefore, don't do it here either. What? Go ahead.
Don't form it. There's some things that, and you have to make an option,
right.
But you have to daven in a way where if Hashem gives a good, like a fault, if it doesn't want to know.
Right.
I don't seem to have that kind of an attitude. There are just some things that Rebbe Zal said, you know, like, there's nothing that stands in the way of Ratzon,
right.
You know, where even if it looks, you just you know,
I'm
tell the story of the guy who went there to Israel, and then, you know, we just, it seemed like it was impossible.
Right.
You know. You can't let give up.
I'm
supposed to give up.
No way. That's what I'm trying to. That's what I tried to show. There's a stira. I showed you in one place that says don't ever give up, no matter. Tzarchlias action good, no matter how much they're turning you off, keep coming back. That's what it says in Torah.
Just,
Mem
Tes. The thing is, just as far as when you daven, to have
exactly.
Daven,
the manner in which
you
daven.
Your attitude should be that you're going to keep going.
Oh,
you get
for
it.
Sure. In your mind, you got
to
be locked in with an actionist
that
the world can fall down. You're going to keep asking.
Is that right? Until you get it?
The answer is even that, that's the point that Rabbi Nezal is saying is, and what if you were told clearly that you're not going to get it? What would you do? Would you stop? The answer is no. I still have to do mine. I still have to plead and beg. You understand? That's the thing. So that in my own mind, and I saw this in Sifas Saran in a few places where Rabbi Nezal uses that term. In other words, even until you're going to get it, that's pretty sure. In other words, that's our Sforim give you chizuk. You should know you're going to get, if you'll try, you will get and everything. But if you'll recall, there's a few places in Sifas Saran and in Likutei Halachos where Rabbi Nezal says, and even if you daven a whole lifetime and you don't get it, then you have nothing to worry about. You did yours, and Hashem, whatever he does, call it, you know, is okay. That's the point of Rachman v'Tachanun, that you're leaving, your tone of voice is showing that you're leaving the option open to Hashem, that I'm still not demanding, Hashem, I still want whatever you want. The overriding factor is Ratzani Lasis Ratzanecha. And if your Ratzan is I should be poor or kids or everything or sick or be a Russia, even that I'm willing to accept. But my actionus in pleading that you're not gonna take away from me. You understand? That's it. Action but pleading. Action but pleading.
You say the same thing that we know that the base of Mikdash is going to be here. We still say he Ratzon with an Nechash and what came up here. And it may be your Ratzon that we should be there to see the base of Mikdash. Meaning it's the same thing that we're doubting it should be your Ratzon that, you know, that the base of Mikdash should be rebuilt. That
I don't know.
It's
Hebrew and this is Hebrew. I don't know.
It's just
davening
like that,
davening,
you know, maybe.
That's also a concept of this, you know, Rachman v'Tachnun. And we have the story that Rabbi Zal used to say about one of the Tanaim in the Zohar Kodesh. His wife would have a meal prepared. He would go into the other room and say, Hashem, please give me food. You know, I need food to have strength. Ridiculous. The food's on the table. The sin, you know, of not taking the food. I'm not taking, I'm pleading for it. Not keva, Rachman v'Tachnun.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Rabbi Zal says in the Torah, that the King David used to make himself pliable as a worm, and he never tried to force the reality.
We had that, you remember we had it in the Gemara,
right.
About Ha'atsani, and then another word which meant like a worm, that he was at times firm like wood when he went out to war,
right.
And then yet very pliable.
But also, in there's certain
Achshanas,
the person has to have when he's coming close to Hashem, like the family's trying to take him away.
Right. He has to have an Achshanas towards them. Towards them. And even then, an actionist, not in a manner of talking nastily, but an actionist locking in his own mind that he's not going to let anything deter him from coming close to Hashem. but still at the same time, in speaking to Hashem, only Rachman v'tachman. And that Rabbeinu addresses in that table over there, he stresses that there is a concept of a mate oiz. The mate oiz is used to be machnia the ra. When you come to speak to Hashem, there you gotta speak very softly, very pleadingly, even if your name is Moshe Rabbeinu. You gotta speak pleadingly with tremendous respect and that concept of tremendous hachno, begging.
What are the other things in the temple we're not supposed to have actions besides tefillah?
Everything. Anything.
That you're not
permitted to have actions.
You want to get to Eretz Yisrael, you have actions in getting money and doing this.
The answer is yes. In other words, actionist meaning in that I'll try to do everything in my power. But what Rabbeinu was referring there was a stubbornness of not willing to bend, meaning, how could we apply it? Just what can I give as an example?
A particular path. You know,
exactly. Exactly. In other words, that if I see it's not working, if I see I try this specific for it, exactly. Let's say a person tries, you know, parents to help him out and get it. He sees it's not going, not to become action towards that item. If it does, if I don't get it from here, I'll get it from there, that kind of thing. No, it's to lock in action in that I want to come close to Hashem. But in any specific manner that I do something, there are no actions. Look at that, in one place a person is learning, and a person gets into a rut where he can't, a certain safer, he can't learn. Should he be action and say, no, I'm not going to put this safer away, no way, no. At that point in time, he's permitted to close the sefer, take out a different sefer. And Rav Nosson also says sometimes at that point in time, he's permitted to put away the sefer and go to sleep. That's the extent that we say no action, because action is dangerous. If you do action, sometimes you could kill, you could suicide yourself with actions. You got to be careful sometimes, not even to be an action in trying to come close to Hashem. It's too hard. You sit.
Is it a form of revolution?
Exactly. 100%.
Just a question about that story you just said at the time of davening, we had food, you go to the next room.
Right.
And it was there's a concept of three months show, a different thing, like, you know,
right.
Team davening, if you hear.
No, don't worry. Okay?
So, you know, you hear there's a fire, you can daven, should be, because it happened already.
Because
the
answer is, obviously, what he was davening for, in other words, in his tefillah, although he was saying with Pshitas Hashem, please give me food, I should be able to serve you better, this, that, in his, there's food, and there's food. And depending on whether you get your food, Rabbi Nizal says, you have people who don't daven at all, and they still have parnasa. But their parnasa is tachinas behema. There are people who sit down to eat a meal, and their food is animal food. He made his food human food by davening for it. To what extent? Even when it was already on the table, before he took it into his mouth, he wouldn't take anything into his mouth before asking Hashem, please give it, before, by saying, please give it to me, he's acknowledging that it's coming from you, not my wife gave it to me, not my mommy gave it to me, please give me food, let it come from you, my shefa should come from Hashem, shouldn't be shefa behema, should be shefa roi for another.
What was the point of that?
The point was, he brought an example. The Gemara says, halacha l'maisa, if there's a fire in a city, if a person hears there was a fire in a city, chas v'shalom, where his house is, before he knows whose house it is, he's allowed to daven halavai, it shouldn't have been in my house. Once he knows, let's say, that the fire ended, or that the fire, in other words, that the fire finished, he can say, Hashem, please make it that the fire should not have been in my house. The Gemara says, that's a tefillah shah, that's insulting to Hashem, because, you know, you're making a joke out of tefillah, the item is completed already. So the question is, could that concept, tefillah shah, be applied to this Tana? Who went Hashem asking to give him food when the food was already on the table, and it was in front of him? The answer is that there, it's a different form of tefillah, sort of. In his asking, forgive me food, he was acknowledging that the food's on the table. But I want that this food that's on the table, I want to acknowledge that I know it's coming from you. And I want it to come to me in a manner direct from you. It shouldn't be just food that's plopped on a table like you plop food out for a cat. It should be food. In other words, I should get it direct from you. It should be in a holy form, etc., etc.
Well, when you mentioned the Torah, you mentioned that it should do certain items.
Exactly.
It should affect the good things.
Exactly.
Okay. This is like when you're davening to Hashem, you never mention your good points. You always find the end upon his mercy. There's always doing battle with Hashem.
fleeting manner. Please have rahmanis. Only oitzar matnas chinam chaneinu.
In other words, with the zchus of your freebie, the concept of freebies that Hashem gives. Give me what I mean. You can mention that in tefillah whenever you want, but there again, in a form of not demanding. In the zchus of my Rebbe, you know, I feel you should get nothing. Please, in this, you know, I'm a desperate person. I'm so poor. I have none of my own zchus to come. So anything I can, I'm going to try to present, but not demanding, pleading. No, it's anything that I can throw in that might make you look at me a little better and might better my chances of getting it. Not force the issue that I'll get it, better my chances that I'll get it. I'll try. That's the attitude that Rabbeinu is always stressing very much in this study. Hashem should teach us how to daven correctly the right way.
Would you say, like, for instance, a person, let's say a Jew that prays, let's say he's a little bit depressed and he demands, it's sort of like a complaint against Hashem, he's not satisfied with
his God. Chas v'shalom, or he's second guessing Hashem. Sometimes you demand, you don't even realize that what you're demanding is bad for you. Whereas if you do it in this way, rachmi v'tachnunim, you're leaving an option open that if this isn't good for you, Hashem sees that you don't think you're such a smart aleck, you're coming and grabbing. You're coming and pleading, it's just you're a dummy, you don't know you're pleading for the wrong thing. Hashem will have rachmanis and give you the right thing. But if you come demanding chas v'shalom, you leave yourself wide open for problems.
Well, we will say, even if he says the right words, but he's depressed, Hashem can look in the person's heart. He sees that the person is
moving
in the direct sense.
True. Okay, next.
In other words, this chus, if you ask, in other words, derech rachmi, but that he has certain chus that Hashem should do for him a certain thing.
Yes, that's part of what Rabbi Nizal said as tainus. Because when a person makes tainus to Hashem, but there again with a tremendous warning to present it with utter hachna, because it should never come out in a way. Some people they do a mitzvah, they learn or whatever, and they think they come out, oh, today I'm a big rav and I'm ready to start talking to Hashem sort of on a buddy babe. You know, I'm no longer one of those other Jews, the ones who aren't, you know, chassidim. You know, I'm a chassider, baby. I can talk differently to Hashem. Never to take that kind of attitude. So that even when you're presenting somebody wrong with Hashem, you see, I tried, I got up this morning. In other words, the word I was telling that it was hard for me to get up early. I'm trying to make an effort to get up early, so please help me. As the Torah says, Hashem says, do a little, and you just open the door, and I'll do more. You see, Hashem, I'm trying to open the door. Please have rachmanis on me. But again, to be careful that even when you say those words, never with any kind of feeling of gaiva, to say just the opposite, with a hachmor in a form of rachmi v'tachmi. You understand what I'm saying? Even that item that you present, it's legitimate, it's true, and Rabbeinu Zal said you should do it. You should use tainus, figure out ways to convince Hashem, to force, you know, logically, to force Hashem in a sense to do what you would want him to do. But when you're saying it and when you're thinking it with rachmim, with achmim, and with tremendous hachmim.
Hashem also wants to give him praises, like when we ask for these things, right?
Sure, that's a separate thing, for sure. Okay, next.
How is it that a tzaddik, a tremendous tzaddik, could go to something and Hashem could fulfill it?
It's an exception. That's an exception to this rule. Although we find even by tremendous tzaddik, Chas v'shalom, that he got hurt by this. Moshe Rabbeinu got hurt by this. Even a tremendous tzaddik, when he davens Hashem, does it with rachmi v'tachmim. There are times when he can be geyser on item, that a certain item should happen or whatever. It's not his tefillah. His form of tefillah is rachmi v'tachmim. Al taras tefillos v'keva. That's what it says. Next, Torah Kuf Tzadik Zayin. Rabbi Nizal says, "Da, you should know, Sheloshin Hara Shel Ha'olam Mazik Upayim Eswanilus, that the Loshin Hara that people speak in the world damages the quality of humbleness. She'al Yedei Loshin Hara Shel Ha'olam Medabrim, through the Loshin Hara that people speak." Al yidei ha-pigam ha-zeh, through that deficiency, through that pigam, i'efshir la-tzadikim li-yois anovim. It makes it impossible for the tzadikim to be truly humble. Now remember what Lashon Hara is. Lashon Hara is saying something about a second person that's true, that's derogatory, and that's being said with no good motive involved, no beneficial motive, with no good purpose in mind, like a nochosh. A nochosh eats beloy lachash, without any taste. He bites a person, although he's not getting any more pleasure out of biting a person than eating plain dirt. Whereas again, if a person is saying something about a second person, not chas v'shalom with any intent of harming that person, but on the contrary, letting other people know about that so that the other people might be in a position to help that person, or letting other people know about that to know what to watch out for, but he's not saying it in any way to damage that person, that's definitely permissible and suggested by the Torah. The Gemara mentions that that should be done. Rabbi Nizal says here,
when Nifa Derish, you know, Shlom's son, the surviving lame son,
right,
was Rechut, it was Lashon Hara by his servant, his Abba, that was a chet, wasn't it? In fact, it was actually accepted as a compromise. As a result of that, the descendants of
Shlomi
broken up into two kingdoms.
Of Shlomi Melech,
because of that Lashon Hara.
Right.
That
right.
was accepted at the highest level.
Right. Right. Okay. Now Rabbi Nizal says, Ki pigam Lashon Hara mafrid bein anova lechachma. Because the pigam of Lashon Hara causes a pirud between humbleness and chachma, wisdom. And when you break up the connection between Anova and Chachma, the Anova becomes garbage. It's no good anymore. Rabbi Nizal says, and it becomes impossible to be an Anov. And even if the person, even if the tzaddik or tzaddikim will have modesty, it's going to be a modesty without Chachma. And this is known, she'anova b'lay chachma eino klum, that modesty without wisdom is zero. Now note, Mari Roth, modesty, which sphera is it?
I think Malchus,
Keser. Modesty is ayin, I'm nothing. Where does Keser come from? How do you get up to Keser? Via one way only, Chachma. You go through any different, you cut in between those two, Chas v'Shalom, then it's not modesty anymore, it's Chas v'Shalom, something flipped out. In other words, we're dealing with Keser, we're dealing with a very high item here, a very dangerous item. If you go via the proper Kalim, if you go in sequence, then from Chachma, the next step is Ayin. HaChachma may Ayin Temotze. Chachma comes from Keser, and to get to Keser, you go via Chachma. If Chas v'Shalom, you leave out the Chachma in any way, you know that that's a Bechin of Riboy Shemen. It's baloney, it's garbage, it's no good, it's a treif item. Let's finish first, and then we'll take questions.
Don't you have to get Rampant to Tiferes to get
for that? For sure. But we're talking about these two items specifically. Rabbi Nizal says, "V'zeh yodua, and this is known, she'anova b'lay chachma eino klum, that modesty without chachma is nothing. Ki bevadai ein ze ma'ala so'anova, because certainly, when we talk about the benefits of modesty and the qualities of modesty it certainly is not one of the outstanding characteristics of modesty, laharoi satzmei b'kfifas roish b'derech shtus, that a person should show himself that he walks with a bent head or he stands with a bent head, b'derech shtus, in a stupid manner, ke'ilu hu anav, as though he's a modest person, kizeh anova psula, because that's a false kind of modesty, which is a very, very big sin, chas v'shalom, because that's the tachlis hageyus. That's a person who thinks he's doing this make-believe. He doesn't really feel that. He's showing something that he doesn't really feel. V'ikur ha'anova kishihi b'chachma, and the main anova is when it's via chachma, where the person really knows that he's nothing. Not that he makes believe that he's nothing, and he knows he's a genius, where he knows he's nothing. Validei pigam loshen hara, and through the pigam of loshen hara, nase pirud bein anova lechachma. It causes a separation between anova and chachma. Validei ze yefsher lihi oisanov, and that makes it impossible to be humble, to be modest. Rabbi Nizal points out, "Vezeh hoyom ma'ilas Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom." This was part of the greatness, the spectacular greatness. This was part of the spectacular greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Sheshibcha Teira Isa, that the Torah praised him. Shoyakol kach gadol b'ma'ilas hanova, that he was on such a spectacular level of modesty. Ad sheafilu lashon hara lahizik lan v'sanusay, that even lashon hara could not damage his hanova. Whereas in the case of all normal tzaddikim, there lashon hara can damage their modesty. This is why the pasuk says right next to where the Torah tells us that Miriam and Aaron spoke lashon hara against Moshe Rabbeinu. Vatedaber b'Moshe nimtzo shoyu pigam lashon hara b'olam, implying that there was lashon hara in the world. Afal pikein, right next to that, the next pasuk says v'ho'ish Moshe onav moed mikol adam asher p'nei adama. Why does it say it right over there? What's the connection? The answer is ki hoya b'mayla gedayla kol kach ba'anova. The Torah is trying to point out that he was on such an unusual, such a unique level of modesty. She'afilu pigam lashon hara lahizik lo la'anova shaloi. Even the pigam of lashon hara could not alter or damage his anova in any way. But anybody other than Moshe, lashon hara, any lashon hara being spoken in the world, damages the anova in the world. Period. Now, just before we take questions, the Parparos L'Chochma gives one example where we find this in Gemara. Interestingly, look what we talk about that word goyim. Look at a goyim, how he learned the piece of Gemara, and instantly it shot him back to the Talmud Gemara. If you recall the story in Gittin that the Gemara says about Kamsa bar Kamsa. That comes, you know, that he was invited to a meal. He wasn't invited. He came. There was a mix-up. Everything this, that, and Bar Kamsa decided he's gonna go. Which one was it? Who was the bad guy? Bar Kamsa, I think, was the bad guy. Decided he's gonna go to the king to tell him that the Jews are against him and everything. That the Jews don't like him, etc. He came with a plot. Then it says, you know, and he went and he cut the lip or the eyelid of the animal and everything, and he came there. He came to the Jews, and he went to the king first and told him the Jews are no good, they're against you. And he says, I can prove it. If you just give me a sacrifice, you know, ask them to bring a sacrifice of yours on their altar, they won't do it. On the way traveling to the Jews, he made a mum in the animal. Then he came to the Jews and he presented them with the shayla. And the Gemara says they started debating back and forth. And one said, we should sacrifice it. Another one said, you can't, because people will think that you're on the normal side. In other words, here it's true, it's pikuach nefesh. Because we know that if we don't, they're going to wipe us all out. But could be an aveira will come out of this, that people will think you're allowed to bring a korban with a mum on the mizbeach. Should we kill Bar Kamsa, and that way maybe the king will forget the whole thing? Or we kill Bar Kamsa, we take a different animal, we say that was the animal. People think that for making a mum and kachim, the penalty is death. We can't do that either. Who was the leading Talmud Chacham at that time over there? What was his name? No. Rabbi Zechariah ben Kevutal. Kevutal. I think that's not. Rabbi Zechariah ben Kevutal. And the Gemara says, Anvesanuse, the Rabbi Zechariah ben Kevutal, is what caused the Chur Meis HaMikdash. Note, it's talking about his strictness. His strictness in doing, and the Gemara uses the term anvesanuse, the Rabbi Zechariah caused this. The Goyim, Rabbi Nachman Shorinzal says, look how now that Gemara ties into the story. There was a Bechinas Lashon Hara. His Bar Kamsa went to the king to speak bad about the Jews. Lashon Hara is pegim in anivus. It was the defected anova that caused the whole problem to go off. You understand? Mm-hmm. That caused the whole bomb to go off. Because how did Tzadikim mechaper on Bnei Yisrael? How did Tzadikim protect Bnei Yisrael? It's their anova. That's their main weapon in dealing with Hashem. The Lashon Hara that Bar Kamsa spoke to the king was plaguing in the anova of the Tzadik Hagadol, the leader who was Rabbi Zechariah there, and that's what caused the whole problem.
That's what made it defective, because of his Lashon Hara. That's what made it.
Whose Lashon Hara?
Because of our campus, Lashon Hara.
Right.
So, I mean.
Dying to Lashon Hara also caused to miscarriage to everyone who was involved?
Probably. Not to be. Probably to show Hanelach. for sure, HaMelech was known for being so humble. He was so humble that when the Jews opposed him, he was too humble to stand up against them. And yet we find when Dave spoke Lashon Hara against Avraham HaMelech, he sure went after him and wanted to kill him. Could be, I'm not the Darshan, could be that that's another example of a case where Lashon Hara makes a deficiency in the Anava.
What technically is the reason why Lashon Hara effects disappeared between...
Okay, the answer is that's a very good question. Unfortunately, I don't want to go into it now because it's going to be too much for now. But I'll mention, we'll put on tape for now. We get to it, you'll remember that there's a Torah Ayin Beis in Likutei Moran Chelek Beis, where Rabbeinu Zal over there goes more into the topic of Anova and Chochma. How the Ikra Anova is totally in Meichem. When we get to that Torah, when we finish that Torah, I'm going to mention this Torah Belina there, and I'm going to remind you how that Torah is an explanation on this. That Torah shows clearly the connection between Anova and Meichin. How the main manner that a person gets Anova is via the Meichin that's given to him through the Tzadikim. This whole explanation that Rabbeinu Zalk is over there. And that explanation is going to clarify any unclarified
part.
Chelek Beis and Likutei Moran. We're almost there, Baruch Hashem. Torah Ayin Beis there is going to be a big, it's not a small Torah, it's a much bigger Torah. That's going to explain this hookup between Anava and Chachma much better.
Well, so one thing you said, Chachma is a step right before, it means having the Sehel to realize why you want nothing.
Not why you want nothing, but that you want nothing. In other words, you understand again, if it's without Chachma, then it's fake. That's the wording Rabbi Israel uses here. If it's without Chachma, it's psula, it's fake. It's if you don't know, if you don't really know it in your own mind, then it's fake. This is something that you have to get to know. You have to convince yourself. You have to study yourself. You have to look at yourself with an Ein HaEmes Vati Pokachma Ein HaSheyem. Rabbi Israel says, Anova is the eyes. You know, Shivu ish tachtov al yetzei shum koyim. Rabbeinu Zal says the main Anova comes on Shabbos, which is the bechina of Shivu ish tachtov. You know, a whole drush that Rabbeinu Zal is about there. Anova is totally in being able to look at yourself honestly, which means the chachma.
When does it start off by saying that Lashon Hara is plaguing needless, and then it goes and explains specifically to Tzadikim? Doesn't that
up? Who are the ones who have Anova?
This, but it doesn't affect the whole world.
It definitely does. He's implying even the Tzadikim, probably. That this affects even the Anova by Tzadikim. That's probably what it is. And over there also, Rabbeinu Zal gives another example, the case of the Meraglim. If you recall, what was Yehoshua? Yehoshua was the greatest Anov next to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He was he acted like a Nar, tremendous Anova. Moshe Rabbeinu gave him a special bracha, Ko Yehoshiacha Me'atzas Meraglim. He added to his name the letter Yud, the smallest letter. He gave him a bracha for extra Anova. Why? Because he knew there was going to be Lashon Hara taking place. The Meraglim were going to speak Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael. Lashon Hara can be pagan in the Anova, in the Anivus. Therefore, he gave the Anov, Yehoshua, a bracha to be saved. In other words, he was the one who got the main bracha because he was the one whose outstanding item was Anova. He was the one who needed the most protection. Baruch Hashem.
Is Gesser
not the same? That's an interesting point. That at times, Al Pisod, those two are very much associated because the Keser of this world is the Malchus of the upper world in some ways. In other words, if we look at the Spheros as Chachma Bina Das, Keser Dvar Tehillim, what's the Keser? The Keser is the Malchus of the next world. You understand? Rabbi Zal also mentioned that Keser is called Ayin, Malchus is called Ani. Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, Ani is the Shema, Ani is Malchus. Keser is Ayin. So we see the association again there.
What you're saying is because sometimes you look on a spirit chart, you see the top of it is Keser, but when you count sphere, it ends with knots.
You shouldn't be looking at spirit charts. Number one, I know. The answer is true. That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying.
Right.
That sometimes we say that Ani is Malchus, Anechi, the Kaf stands for Keser. But Ayin is also Keser, correct?
Explain it also why somebody else's Lashon Hara will expect that.
That's a side item. That's proven from here. That we see in the case where Miriam and they were speaking Lashon Hara, and it could have affected Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah makes the point of not, you should know it didn't affect Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see there that the Lashon Hara could affect somebody else. In the case of Meraglim, Yehoshua was not going to be speaking Lashon Hara. The other 10, Yehoshua and Kalev, did not speak any Lashon Hara. Yehoshua had to be given a bracha that his Anova should be protected, because there was going to be a big Lashon Hara in the world. The Lashon Hara of the Miraculous.
I'm going to explain why Lashon Hara affects the Nevis.
100%. Why? No. That Torah is going to explain the connection between Chachma and the Nevis.
What is the specific about Lashon Hara that hurts that period, that makes that period? Why does Lashon Hara make that period between Chachma and
that I don't know. In other words, it's not explained here, and I don't think it's explained over there. It's just given, in other words, there are other examples given of it, and there it shows how it's totally in Chachma. Could be, when we get to that Torah, we'll see even that I don't know. But it's interesting to note, I left out a point about this, in Chaim Aran it's brought that when Rabbein Ezal said this Torah, at that time Rabbein Ezal was in a very low frame of mind. He was in a state of Meichan the Katlus, in a sense. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that he, Rav Naftali Zal, came to see Rabbein Zal on a Shavuos. And by the way, in the story that we're up to with Rav Nosson Zal, that's going to be the upcoming Shavuos. As we're up to Chanukah now, Shabbos Chanukah, the following Shavuos, when Rav Nosson Zal, Rav Naftali Zal came to him, which is a whole story of that whole Shavuos, how it happened and everything, they came to Rabbein Zal, and Rabbein Zal told them, you should know that right now I know nothing. I really know nothing at all. I feel it. I wake up in the morning, I daven shacharis, I just say the words slowly, I try to translate the words in my own mind, then I go lay down a little, then I wake up, I say a little tehillim, I do this. He was telling them that he was in that state of mind. But he said, one thing was revealed to me recently, that Lashon Hara is pagan in the Anivus of the world. And that's when he explained this little Torah. So in other words, we know that at that time, Rabbein Ezal was not in an atmosphere, in a mood of explaining deep things. He just mentioned that it was revealed to him, this Yediya. The fact, just the fact, that we accept this fact, that this damages this and this. Baruch Hashem. Hashem should save all of us from Lashon Hara. Let's sneak in just the next Torah. Torah Kuf Tzadik Ches, Rabbein Ezal says, Kishe Echod Tzoyek LaHashem Yisborach, when a person screams to Hashem, when a person gets desperate enough, where he starts screaming to Hashem, you can imagine what point the person is at already, Oimrim Loi Lisa. There are many times from heaven that they tell him, Lisa. Sometimes when they tell him Lisa, he screams. it's a private joke. Okay, but Rabbein Ezal says, they tell him, move it. The person is standing and screaming, and they say, move it. As the Torah says, the Jews were standing on Shvi Shel Pesach. On Shvi Shel Pesach, the Jews were standing at the edge of the water and they were screaming, Hashem, help us, save us. And Hashem said, Ma Titzak Elai, what are you screaming? Daber El Bnei Yisrael V'Yiso, tell the Jews to move it. And what does this refer to? This refers to the fact that when a person starts feeling desperate and that he's having problems in serving Hashem and this and that, let's say in learning, a person feels he went through a tremendous yirid in learning and he starts screaming to Hashem, please, I'm so sorry that I let so many days go by without learning the right way and everything. And he really pours out a powerful tefillah. And then he goes to bed and he wakes up the next morning and he has breakfast and goes to work and forgets about it. And Rabbein Ezal says you should know that when a person gives out that kind of powerful tefillah, a tefillah with tzilaka, there are many times that they say, okay, move it, it's move it, meaning you make the first move. Just take out a sefer and open it now, and you'll take off like a plane. In other words, you'll see it'll go. And if you don't open the sefer, the whole tefillah will just dud out on you, zero. As was the case here, in other words, the Yidden was screaming for Yeshua. But in order for the Yeshua to come, they had to make the first move. Somebody had to jump into that water up to his neck, and then the miracle, everything started happening. So there are some times when Rabbein Ezal says, you can't just scream and stand still. You got to scream and then move. You want to go for an apartment, you want an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, you daven, scream everything, and then don't go to sleep after that. You daven, then make your move, and Hashem will make it that whatever move you make will be good. The hatzlacha will come in whatever you, at that point, whatever you do is good. In other words, not how am I going to know? If you daven the right way, it doesn't matter, it doesn't make any difference at all what the H you're going to do. Whatever, but you got to do something, you got to move. In other words, you finish davening, walk, move, you know, get ready to move. And then Hashem will shine a hatzlacha into whatever you're doing. And this again is something that Rabbi Yisrael mentions many, many times. The simin comes to simcha, comes to anything. Don't daven and stop there. Daven and then make a move, some kind of move. And with the move, you'll see everything will go into place, that kind of thing.
Is it that, in other words, that person has that amuna that after he's finished, there's that eis ratzon right
for
there.
Sure.
So take advantage
100%.
Of it. Also, in effect, you're giving Hashem a chance to help you if you're not going to move.
No, No. The question is, maybe you would think that Hashem doesn't need it. No, it's that you daven, Hashem will help you right there. The answer is no. You have to, after davening, you got to take a step. If you take the step, then the miracle. No, the question is, why did Nachshon have to jump in? They screamed. They should have stood there and watched the water split. No, sometimes screaming alone is not enough. Scream, move, and then the miracle happens.
Okay.
The answer is after you screamed. Meaning, in other words, whenever a person davens, you know, any kind of tefillah that's decent, then they tell him go.
So what does it mean to tell him go? Who tells him?
Hashem tells him. Hashem's reply is make your move and I'll put a hatzlach on it. Why not uberachticha, period? No. Uberachticha b'chol ha'shetah. So Rav Nosson says, the bracha there is that in whatever you do, whatever minuscule, in other words, tear the safanos, uberachticha b'chol ha'shetah, that any tiny, you'll go to work for a half hour a day, you'll have a whole week's parnosa, that kind of thing. But, not uberachticha b'chol ha'shetumai. Another meaning, you gotta do. You gotta do something. You gotta make some kind of initial move. Habolat Tahir, Messiahly. You gotta run. Rav Nosson Zal wanted a wagon to get to Rabbeinu Zal. He davened, then he ran out looking. Ran out looking, he found, he got, he hitched, and this, and you know, all kinds of things. Hashem should help us be zecher to understand all the eitzes that are found here, especially again to take advantage of Likutei Tefilos. Likutei Tefilos is the Rashi on Likutei Moran. You want to know what we're supposed to derive from the Torah Likutei Moran? Look at what Rav Nosson Zal asked for based on this Torah. You'll understand exactly what we're supposed to take out of this. Hashem should help us do exactly what Rabbeinu Zal said we should do. That way, we'll bring about all the issues that we need. Baruch Nisbegashmas, refuahs to those who need a refuah. Parnosa, Bonin, and the Kami of Mashiach. I mean, that's what you're going to know.
Right, you say that with somebody else. What's the
no,
there?
This is talking about yourself. This is talking about yourself. Although even somebody else sometimes, the guy's got to make a move also. Person's davening, you know, for an apartment, you're davening for him, and he says, okay, I know people are davening for me, so we'll just keep davening and nothing, you know. Daven, make a move, and then you'll see the move take off. Whatever the move is, it'll take off.
In other words, that's Hashem like merges the arousal from below from the arousal from above. It's like one. It's real.
Right, right. It's service to the Lasatan, it's service to the Lion. Okay, I know people are davening for me, so we'll just keep davening and nothing. No. Daven, make a move, and then you'll see the move take off. Whatever the move is, it'll take off.
In other words, that's Hashem like merges the arousal from below from the arousal from above. It's like one. It's
right. It's service to the Lasatan, it's service to the Lion.